presented by Groundwork Collaborative.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Rachel Bade. It's Thursday, June 6th. Here's what's driving the day. Commemorations for the 80th anniversary of D-Day are underway in France, where President Joe Biden today will lean into his inner Ronald Reagan during his remarks. Biden aides are openly talking about their desire to echo the same sentiments that Reagan expressed in his famous June 1984 speech, Before I Was Born, commemorating the 40th anniversary of D-Day. As our colleague Eli Stokels writes, they've studied Reagan's trip and are looking to remind the public how much is still at stake for freedom and democracy, particularly this year in the 2024 election. Hell, Biden will even deliver his speech where Reagan stood, those iconic cliffs where the war turned so long ago. Back in Wilmington, Delaware, Haley Biden, the widow of Beau Biden and one-time romantic partner of Hunter, is expected to testify today in the president's son's ongoing criminal trial. She takes the stand as the case took a rather personal turn on Wednesday with two of Hunter's partners, including his ex-wife, testifying about his use of crack cocaine. Hunter, as you know, has been charged with lying on a gun application by concealing his drug addiction. The trial, our colleagues write there in Delaware, is on track to reach closing statements next week. So the GOP convention is less than 6 weeks away, and the search for Trump's running mate is buzzing behind the scenes. The vetting process is in full swing. Trump's team has officially requested documents from North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, Senators J.D. Vance and Marco Rubio, as ABC News first reported, and also Senators Tim Scott, Tom Cotton, as well as Congresswoman Elise Stefanik and Congressman Byron Donalds and Ben Carson. Now, nobody knows for sure who the lucky Republican will be, but speculation on the block seems to be that Burgum is leading the pack. But other candidates aren't giving up the fight to win what they see as the privilege to be Trump's running mate. Case in point, today, Tim Scott allies are making moves clearly aimed at impressing the president. And joining me now to discuss this is our colleague, Bracton Booker, a political correspondent for Politico and the author of The Recast. Hey there, Bracton. How are you?
Awesome, Rachel.
So just for listeners, Bracton is actually on a train back from Philly, which he had a story that we're also going to talk about in the podcast today. But just a FYI, if we have a little bit of a muffled sound in the podcast today. So Bracton, first of all, tell us, what is Tim Scott up to?
Well, Tim Scott is in the process of making sure that folks know that he can help deliver black votes for Trump. He's looking at the polls like a lot of other Republicans are and saying, hey, we are seeing all this evidence that there is a softening of black support for President Biden's reelection. He's seeing that, especially among black men, he feels like he can be sort of the conduit to kind of bring some of these folks back into the fold for the Republican Party. Now, there are many reasons why this might be a challenge. One of them being that he had his own presidential campaign where he was thought to be someone who could bring a lot of black folks into the Republican tent. And it did not go as planned for his presidential campaign. So now he's saying that, like, hey, I know that didn't work in the Republican primary, but in the general election, I can help you out, Mr. Trump. So it remains to be seen if he can really deliver on this promise. But look, he's got real money behind this initiative.
And what exactly is the initiative? It's some sort of super PAC aligned with him. They're launching, what, $14 million to voter outreach, at least to voters of color. What are they going to be doing? Is this like, you know, TV? Is it going to be field offices? What does it look like?
It's a combination of things. What it won't be is they're not going to have a field office. This is not going to be a brick and mortar shop where they're going to go into these big major metropolitan areas to set up shop. But they're going to deploy Tim Scott and other elected officials to go into these cities and make connections with some of these low propensity black and brown voters. They're also going to have ads. What they are trying to do is get other Republicans on board and say, like, hey, if you want to not only win your House or Senate race, but also help President Trump get back into the White House, you're going to have to go outside your natural comfort zones and go to places where Republicans don't typically go. Now, we'll tell you, every election year, we hear about these big pronouncements from Republicans saying that they are going to go into neighborhoods that they're not really welcome to and start having these conversations. The issue is, like, once you have those first conversations, where is the follow-up and where is the apparatus to then turn those folks that you contacted into Republican voters? And that seems to be where a lot of the past initiatives have fallen back.
And you saw the limits of this outreach yesterday on the ground in Philly. Tell us a little bit about this event you attended where we saw Black surrogates for Trump trying to sort of extend to Black voters and get them excited about voting for Trump over Biden. I think you had written in your story that most of the people who showed up were already Republicans who were going to vote for Trump in the first place. Is that right?
That's pretty accurate. Look, the organizers, including the person whose brainchild this was, Republican Wesley Hunt of Texas, they said that, look, this was a trial one. They wanted to see what kind of response they got from Philadelphia first. And obviously, Philadelphia is crucial to both the Trump and Biden campaigns because it's like suburbs of Philadelphia, suburbs of Pennsylvania. So they are really trying to make sure they ramp up turnout, and they really think that both sides both think that Black voters, especially Black men, can be the key in winning the state. So what we saw is a room full of people who were already conservative leaning. I didn't need anybody except for maybe one person that was a Democrat in that room. So these people did not come to hear Byron Donalds and Wesley Hunt to be swayed to vote for conservatives, the conservative principles. They were already there, and it's sort of like people in an echo chamber or preaching to the choir of like, yes, all these folks were like-minded and already going to support the former president and certainly not open to supporting Biden. So the other thing I witnessed there was no real effort to get people to switch parties. There was no voter registration. And it just seemed to me it was a real lost opportunity that, you know, organizers said they were going to try to rectify if they tried to do one of these events again.
Really interesting stuff. Thanks, Brecton. I appreciate you joining us from the train.
Yeah, pleasure to do it.
And for the rest of your schedule today, the Senate and House are out. And today, Biden and First Lady Jill Biden are obviously in Normandy, France. I'm Rachel Bade. Thanks for listening.
Our tax code isn't fair, and it's time to fix it. For too long, the tax code has been slanted towards the wealthy and large corporations. As a result, the economy and our country has suffered. The expiration of key provisions of the Trump tax law in 2025 is a rare opportunity to reform the tax code to make it fair, raise revenue, and support equitable economic growth.